Okay, Mr. West Tuttle, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, I had a meeting this afternoon with Tony, and the bottom of it is that the car signing a lease is I was concerned in regard to in most contracts they need somebody that's going to be responsible, and we talked, and he kind of got the gist of what I was knowing. He said, no, what I'm going to, because I said, boy, I'd hate to sign a 3-year contract and even me, and then something happened, and I don't plan on it happening. I've been in the ministry for 34, 33 years, and I don't think anything, but if anything did, putting that under one person, we just can't do that. And he said, no, we'll put it under the name of the church, and so that if anything would happen to the church, then it would dissolve, and that would be that. There'd be nothing. He said, I wouldn't like it, and he said, I know you wouldn't like it, but he said it would just be one of those things. It'd be nobody to sue, to make pay. Like right now, he's got two suits going on. If you want to do that, he's got to do something. The group that took over where we were, they signed a 3-year lease, and they're gone. And they don't want to pay, and he's got to deal with it. And I said, that's exactly what I want to avoid. We cannot have that. If anything, I don't plan on it, but you never know in these things. What a church. And he said, well, that's why we'll just do it that way. And he said, he kind of laughed. He said, I'm not going to go to hell by suing a church. It was really hard for me not to straighten that theology out. I kind of let that one hang in there. Salvation is the only road. let that doctrine kind of seep in. straighten that one out.
You need your view on God.
So that would be the case there. And yes, we do get this restroom. And I'm sorry? Yeah, I've got a shower in there. And let's see. Yeah, I'd like some
is that
kids.
To me when I come in from the horses.
Jim, if you'll just step right over here. the room behind here. This us or anybody that would lease this does not get that unless we pay $400 more a month, and it's about half more of this room. And that's pretty much the bottom line of where we are as far as the lease. Any
questions?
No, he's got to work it up, and then I will take it to somebody and have them read it just to be sure. And
I wouldn't have any idea. I haven't dealt with that in so long.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So we'll get somebody, legal. And okay, we can have your mom. Have your mom look at it. And just be sure things are kosher. And so, but everything is flowing.
What about the electric behind that door? Do we get that?
This is an electrical room for the whole building.
Oh.
And I can ask him, but I'm not sure we want that responsibility.
Might want to put a room in there or something.
There's a stairwell that kind of cuts down diagonal in that room anyway. So that's nothing but the telephone equipment and someone.
Yeah.
Herman, what about the electrical bill, electrical utilities? What was the deal on that?
We hadn't worked out what our percentage would be, but we're only here 3 hours a week, or basically 4 hours a week. So, any other questions on that? Okay. I didn't realize it, but this Saturday night is clock change. And so, and this Easter will be the beginning closest to January 1st of any Easter that we'll have in our lifetime, and it will not happen again. By that early date, I think it had to have been born or be alive in 1923. Jim, you weren't here, no. And 1923.
I remember that one.
And, I remember that one. That's good, Doc. And the next one will be like 150, 200 years from now. That'll be this early. And it all goes with the equinox and the calendars, the Roman calendar and all that. So, and the rapture. But the clock changes this Saturday. So
just wondering how many
are
gonna miss John.
Yeah. Miss, you gotta put it forward. Well, I'm gonna have Leslie put it out on the internet. Because I didn't know I got an email. I had no idea that it would have been this early.
And they moved it ahead because they wanted to save more energy and kind of. They moved like 2 weeks ahead.
Okay. So that'll be this week, this Saturday for that. John will be here Sunday, and we'll have no class next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. We had a little pastor's conference in Houston. And okay, any questions on all of that? All right, let's talk about prayer. And Tish, give us an update.
Well, I was telling the girls, I went to the doctor today, and for the results of my test, and the one in the groin has shrunk, the one under my arm has shrunk, but the one on the hip is growing. So he's kind of perplexed. He's
2 out of 3 isn't bad.
Well, that's what I thought. But that third one is the one with scary problem.
Oh, okay.
I was going to kill you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You're so encouraging.
I was trying to look at this positive.
Well, Jared's looking at positive.
And so what he wants me to do is, because when I was on the drug they gave me, it was shrinking, you know, and it looked like it was healing. But I couldn't stay on the drugs. They were killing me. And so he's going to have me see a contagious disease specialist, which is what Herman's favorite TV show guy is, House.
Dr. House, I said, tell him you want to consult Dr. House.
Well, I'm going to go see her on Monday, and maybe she knows something she can do. You know?
Okay, well, we'll be in prayer about the Dr. Monday. And let's see. It's interesting to send you to a disease doctor rather than a cancer.
Because of the antibiotics, seem like they were healing, you know. So she's an infection specialist.
Okay.
And so he's thinking maybe she might know something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take some element of that and apply it. Okay. Well, we'll certainly be in prayer. That's Monday.
That's Monday.
All right.
And the only other option is that he doesn't want to see me in 2 months. He's not real concerned. It hasn't grown anywhere else. And there's a drug out there that I need if I can take it, you know. There's a drug out there that I might can take.
Okay.
He doesn't want to put me on it right now.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly be in prayer for wisdom in finding the right thing for your body.
Yeah.
And that's why I really enjoy the series on House. The movie to me is the mystery, like a murder mystery, the mystery of figuring it out. And how he goes through, they have all the plots and things, the things that go around it, but the real mystery is the disease and working through it, and I really enjoy that. Okay, we need to be in prayer for Amber. She really needs our prayers. We need to be in prayer for Nathan, who really needs our prayers. He's making some decisions and as far as work and things, so he needs our prayers. We need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. We need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards and Cindy and Vic's
friend
Dwayne.
Also their 2 daughters, Charlotte and Michelle.
Okay. And then we need to be in prayer. We finally got it down to what her real name is, and can't tell us.
It's Alyssa. Normally we just call her Allie, so I hadn't really seen it in print. When I was going on the internet checking her status, it says Alyssa. Oh, okay. I guess on the phone when you say it, you hear it either way. So, but it's Alyssa.
Alyssa, okay. And give us a little update on Alyssa.
And she's doing much better. She's now mentoring the younger or newer people to the program. And she got a phone call home, so that means that she's progressed to a point where they trust her a certain amount. And I think she's wanting to go home. She realizes how much she's missing, and she wants to establish this trust with her mother. So I think things are going.
That's good, healthy signs. Those are good, healthy signs. Instead of going the rebellion route, she's going, okay, I missed this and want that. So very good. So we need to be in prayer for Alyssa and Molly, mother, and dad. So that's very good. My friend Rod needs your prayers. So please be in prayer for Rod. Let's see. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Have not. I need to. Got an email from him, and I responded to an email, but I need to call him, talk to him voice to voice. So I need to do that.
My friend mentioned some time ago Ray, who was indicted for
Ray?
Embezzlement. He's the Rockwell County District Attorney. I think my personal thing is that he was set up on this. He signed something, and they put it in his bank account, and but his trial is starting. They've just done the jury selection, so he's a friend, and we trust him. And I just think he assumed people were helping him instead of doing other things. So I'm sure he'd appreciate the prayers. Ray.
34 years ago, when I started ministry. I've always fixed it up where I can't sign a check, so just something like that doesn't happen. Oh, I just was signing checks. I don't know how that got into my account. But you get a man like that that's busy in his office, and somebody want to set him up. It's easy to do. So we'll be in prayer for Ray. Okay. And any other prayer requests? Okay. How's Wanda?
Talked to her today. She's doing good. Jim's doing much better.
Good. Okay. Let's continue to be in prayer for our, Tisha's sister and her husband, Jim and Wanda.
And my brother Lonnie's in the hospital.
Lonnie's in what? What for?
Oh, I think he's got pneumonia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Lonnie, we need to be in prayer for Lonnie.
Yes.
Yeah. My goodness. We need to be in prayer. When I was there. In January, we were in Lonnie's house, and Lonnie's on a breather and has to be very careful with his health. But all the brothers were there, and Lonnie looked at me and said, "Well, you're just going to end up doing all of them." And Larry, her other little brother, said, "Not mine. I'm going to outlive him." So, okay. Well, we'll definitely be in prayer for Lonnie. And pneumonia is very bad. It'd be very critical that when you're already sick and have other so many problems, pneumonia can cause a lot of problems. So we need to be in prayer for Lonnie and
see what God's doing. We'd like to send him out to Texas.
Okay.
And so maybe that's something we could pray for because they're not taking good care of him. And we would like to get him out here so he'd be closer to us.
You and Larry can keep an eye on him, okay? Well, we'll be in prayer. First of all, we got to get him through this.
Yeah.
Got to get him through the pneumonia, get him out of the hospital, and then we do that. So let us know about that. Yes. I'm sorry.
Jim's wife.
Yeah. No, has she already left?
She left last week. And she's in Singapore now.
Singapore. Wow. Yeah. We need to be in prayer for Mindy. My goodness. Absolutely. How you doing?
You need to said the can opener still works.
And you're in an area where you have a lot of little restaurants and things you can run out to. That's good. All right. Okay, let's get ready for our study in the Gospel of John, dealing with greater works, which is one of the primary things that Christ dealt with in the upper room. He's told them they're going to have to love one another as he loved, and that's going to require the sending of the Holy Spirit. Then he's orienting it with the works, the greater works. That's going to require the Holy Spirit. So Christ is setting up a lot, and he's going to talk about prayer. All these things are going to set up the need, and that's going to be the last thing he's going to say, as it were, now here's the power to do all these things. But right now we've looked at the love that we have to do, the faith, and now we're looking at the greater works. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come together and to assemble together. We thank you for this room, this place that you've given us. We do not take it for granted. You've worked out the things that are necessary for us to be here. We've been in this location some 4 years now at very little cost, which is your grace. Now, Father, we just pray you continue to provide for us to stay if this is where you'd have us to be. And now, Father, having those physical things taken care of, place to meet, comfortable, warm, cool, comfortable seating, lighting. But now, Father, we pray for the spiritual, which is the only reason for the physical things. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in regard to our own lives. The reason why we're left here on earth after becoming believers in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we had to close and we were looking at a summary, if you please, of the greater works. So, point one, in verse 12, Jesus Christ made it clear that greater works will be done because I go to the Father. Therefore, greater works are dependent upon Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session. Point two, because Jesus Christ leaves planet Earth and is glorified at the right hand of God the Father, because of that glorification, the kingdom of God can begin on planet Earth in the form of a spiritual kingdom. The second advent of Jesus Christ we're looking at in Revelation chapter 19 will bring about the physical kingdom of Israel in the millennium. But we are living in a spiritual kingdom concept. Point three, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. The first mission to earth was to propitiate God the Father by bearing the judgment of the sins of the world of all men, defeat Satan, and three, to inaugurate the spiritual kingdom after completing his mission. So we've dealt with that. And then we looked at point four. Greater works that we do in the church age does not mean they are greater than Jesus Christ. Then we looked here at John 13:16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Point five, which is where we had to end up last week. Point five, the greater works are related to Old Testament prophecy, bringing Gentiles into the kingdom. At this time, we looked at Isaiah 42:1-9, Psalm 72:1-8, Ephesians 3:8-12. We noted Acts 13:16 and following. So the greater work of Jesus Christ is to bring the Jews into the kingdom. The greater works now that you and I have, and the reason that they're called a greater, is that we now bring in the whole Gentile realm into the spiritual kingdom. This brings us now to point six. Do not get the idea that now that Jesus Christ is gone, that it is up to us to do His work. This is so important. And it almost seems like I'm contradicted. Do the greater works, and here I am saying, do not think because He is gone that it is up to us to do His work. He is not absent. He returns united in us, the union model, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is He who will do these works in us through His Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. John 4, verse 37. For in this case, the saying is true. The saying is not always true. A lot of people use this, whatever you sow, you reap, and they use it in a wrong context. But in this case, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Now, I'm using this verse as the point that Jesus Christ does the labor, and we enter into that. Jesus Christ labored, Jesus Christ sowed, we reap. We allow the Holy Spirit, by faith, to work in us, we reap. But it is not us doing the work. So just because, see, a lot of people think, since He's absent, it's up to us to do His work. Please do not get that into your mindset. We do not do these works. Point 7. Once Jesus Christ departed earth, went to God the Father, was seated in glory. I can just imagine the angels in heaven singing. We don't have the record, but just going through all the singing that is going on in Revelation. Just got to know. This must have just been an unbelievable time in heaven, people. I want you to think about it from the standpoint of an angel a moment, if we could think like an angel. But here is that which is lower than angel, a member of the human race, seated at the throne of God. And this is the God-man, the Savior, and angels must have just been in great chorus of singing and praise. But when Jesus Christ departed earth, went to God the Father, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, He then sent His Holy Spirit. The kingdom began on earth as a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. People, there's no one in the church that's been promised. None of us were promised any land. There's any one of us here that, I promise you this land. None of us were promised land. The Jews are promised the promised land. They're promised physical land in the millennial kingdom. But none of us have any promise related to this earthly environment that we're in. It's a spiritual kingdom. Promises that you and I do have are spiritual. They're not physical. No one has been given a promise you will not starve to death. No one has been given a promise that you will not die in some way related to this earth. We have spiritual promises given to us. So the kingdom began as a spiritual kingdom on earth. Jesus Christ did not enter the kingdom. We have the privilege to serve in this kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. While Jesus Christ and His resurrected body still seated in heaven, but He is spiritually in us. This is the union model that is difficult for many to comprehend, but He is spiritually in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, these works are said to be our works. They are His works. This is the union model. I and the Father, the Father and me, verse 10 of John 14. God the Father is said to be the one doing His works. God the Father is said to be doing His works in Jesus Christ. How did He do this? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. In verse 12, they are said to be the works of Jesus Christ. John 14:12, they're said to be the works of Jesus Christ by His submitting by faith to the power of God. God the Father was doing His works in Jesus Christ. The works that Jesus Christ was doing were the works of God the Father. Now here's the star point under this point 7. Jesus Christ was totally submitted by faith, to the Holy Spirit to work the works of the Father. People, this is something that most Christians don't even know about. A lot of them reject it. I know that when Ann and I were in Africa, and the first time I went to Africa in Kenya, we were in a room with, I would say, without exaggerating, 40 pastors, maybe 50, but 40 anyway. And we were going through this, and this concept of the humanity of Christ relying on the Spirit really divided. I mean, there were some that just, this is heresy. And as I told you before, there were some that just said they had never been taught this, but somehow they knew it, and now they felt good in going home and teaching these things. But it's just something that most Christians do not even comprehend, do not think about, do not put into how it all works together, how we could imitate Christ and love as Christ loved. If He did it by His deity, we couldn't do it. If He did it by His perfect humanity, we couldn't do it. But He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have this same Spirit, so therefore, we can do this. But Jesus Christ relied on the Holy Spirit to perform the works in Him. Jesus Christ used His submission of faith, not only to rely, not to rely on His deity, but to rely on the Holy Spirit, and we can do the same thing. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus Christ said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Now, the union model that we have with Jesus Christ is similar to the union model of Him and the Father. It's different, but it's similar. Jesus Christ does His work in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yet we are said to do these works by submitting by faith to the power of God the Holy Spirit. John 14:20. "In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." A lot of people don't even deal with this. It's just too much to comprehend. But people, it's not that difficult if we understand the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's just not that difficult. It's spiritual. So chapter 14, verse 20, which is where we're going. "In that day," that is when the Holy Spirit comes, "you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." In other words, He's teaching them things in the upper room that once they're given the Holy Spirit, He will make all these things clear and vivid and give it spiritual reality and spiritual meaning. So this is what's going on at this time. This is why I often, when I travel out, I have no real problem. At first, I went through a lot of gymnastics, mental gymnastics with it. But you go to Africa and these places, or even other places, how do I know everyone here knows how to be filled with the Spirit, even though I'll say it and go through it, but it's not going to register one time. And then I teach it, and there's just nothing. No. They can take it, take their notes, read notes that I may hand out, or take notes on it. And then when they are filled with the Spirit, boom, it all starts coming to light. They can go over those notes, go over those things. And this is what Christ is doing. So this is the importance of chapter verse 20. In that day you shall know. Now they're hearing it, and they might say, oh yeah, we understand this. We can take a test, I and you and you and me. But they won't understand it. But once the Holy Spirit makes this clear, then they will have an understanding. And you and me, and I and you. And that's the union model that we have. So the union model is after Christ is in the Father is in Christ. Then that model goes to Jesus Christ in us, and us in Christ. Similar but different. Different but similar. Jesus Christ relied on the Holy Spirit by faith to function in the incarnate. We rely on the Holy Spirit by faith to function as a new spiritual creation in Christ. So the mission of doing the greater works is dependent first upon the fact that Jesus Christ is glorified at the right hand of the Father. Secondly, that Jesus Christ is spiritually in each of us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Greater works is by constantly bearing in mind and having an understanding this union. The union of Jesus Christ and the Father, and each of us and Jesus Christ in us. John 17:8. John, let's go ahead and look at that one. John 17:8. For the works which thou gavest me, Christ speaking to the Father, I have given to them, and they receive them. And truly understand that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst sent me. Okay, point eight. We haven't done a lot of points in a long time, but every now and then I just need to gather in the thoughts of the greater works so we can move on. Point eight. When you believe, when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, eternal life salvation by faith, you are placed in the spiritual kingdom. The spiritual kingdom of God on earth. A spiritual kingdom functioning under the new covenant. That's why the communion, the new covenant of my blood, my death, functioning under the new covenant, brought to us by Jesus Christ. When you and I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, when anyone believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, they are placed in the spiritual kingdom of God on earth. A spiritual kingdom functioning under the new covenant. And the new covenant is the Spirit-filled life. And we have studied that in several different occasions. We are then, at the point of salvation, we are then thrust into a spiritual battle. By virtue of our being born again, we are now thrust into a spiritual battle, which Jesus Christ has already won on the cross. But the finality of that victory has not yet concluded, because Satan is still very much active. Now, in the first, 900 years, whatever it'll be of the millennium, there'll be no Satan acting on earth. Be no Satan acting on earth. So then it'll just be a matter of the flesh rejecting Jesus Christ, sinning by people on earth. But even though Satan has been defeated at the cross, he is still active, very much active, until the second advent. Now, by living as we do, in the spiritual kingdom, we have the privilege of greater works. We have the responsibility of greater works. Now, so that you'll see, get a little glimpse of the spiritual kingdom, look with me at Romans 14. Let's look at Romans 14. This is just to give you a glimpse of the spiritual kingdom that we are involved in. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God, this is the kingdom that you and I live in right now on earth, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, we're in this kingdom. The kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, is not related. This is why he talks about eating and drinking and all of these legalistic things that people get so legalistic about. They're not part of this whole matter. They're just not an issue. Verse 18. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy. Now, legalists, we're not here to study this passage, but legalists want to define righteousness by eating and drinking, by activities on the earth. But no, it's the righteousness that we get through the righteous life by the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. And what he means by approved by men is that in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, he ends up, he goes through the divine nine, he says, against such things there is no law. There's no law against those things. There's no law against inner joy, inner peace. All of the wonderful things and spiritual love and these wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does for us. So, this is the kingdom that you and I are in. Okay, point 9. The greater works of the spiritual kingdom are directly related. The greater works of the spiritual kingdom are directly related to bringing Gentiles into the kingdom of God on earth. So this is where history of the church, all these people get so involved in the church. It's our church. It's the Roman Catholic Church. You got to be a member of this church. And you got to be a member church of the Latter-day Saints. Then there's church, and we have it. And remember, no, it's not that. It's this kingdom. We have the privilege of bringing all Gentiles into the spiritual kingdom. This is so vital to our understanding. Prophesied through the Old Testaments as works of the Messiah. Question. What do the greater works have to do with my life personally? What does the greater works have to do with my life personally? We are left here on earth after salvation to bring Gentiles into the kingdom of God. We are left here on earth after salvation to bring Gentiles into the kingdom of God. We are here to witness to the world concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about how Jesus, God declared what he's going to do, then he saved and proclaimed that he did it. We are here in that proclaiming stage. We are here to proclaim that God has done it. He's done what Satan said could not be done. So, this is what we're here for. Now, it is true that some people have a gift of evangelist. It is true that some people have a gift of missionary. It is true that some people have a gift of personal witnessing. But like all the gifts, or nearly, not all, but most of the gifts, they're all of our responsibility. There are people who have the gift of giving, but it's all of us who will be led by the Holy Spirit in regard to our life, in regard to giving and singing and so many wonderful things. We all have this wonderful charge, or charter, as it's called in 2 Corinthians. It's called a charter. Of propitiating the world to Him. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so we are here as ambassadors, and our charter is to bring all men into the spiritual kingdom. This is what we're here for. This is one of our joys, one of our privileges, to be able to tell others about Jesus Christ. People, this is the most wonderful news in the world. And this whole thing goes with, at birth and as we grow, we become God conscious. So a person becomes God conscious, says, yes, there is a God. One group will suppress that. Others will not suppress it. And so therefore we have the opportunity. Okay, now let me tell you about this God that you know exists. Let me tell you how to have rapport with this God that you know is. And what a wonderful thing we're telling them. What a wonderful thing we're telling them. How wonderful to tell them what they know instinctively in their mind, supernaturally, that there is a God. So now they seek after him. They knock. They seek. And you and I, hey, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about how to come to him. Let me tell you about his son. And they go, wow, okay. When you run into people who are starving for that answer, it's just wonderful. And in America, there are a lot of people here that have already rejected, but boy, you run into people just at the right time in their life when they're ready to listen. And you give that message. So this becomes something absolutely wonderful. Every time we witness for Christ, you're proclaiming Christ to the world. You're fulfilling the greater works. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus said, came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, that is just so dramatic in the spiritual warfare about Satan and the angels and things we're looking at in Revelation and things that are going on earth right now politically in America and in our lives. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is why he's the Lamb, the only one qualified to open the seven seal book in Revelation 4 and 5. Where they, who is worthy to open the book? He's the one worthy. And right here, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And what has he commanded? Faith and love. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, of the church age. I go to the Father. This is what it's based on. I go to the Father. So, on the basis of his going to the Father, then we have opportunity to bring others into the kingdom. Now, this would be a good time to take up how to witness. I'm not going to do that, but do you know how to witness? When was the last time you gave the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone? I just have done it recently because of my position as a pastor at a funeral. But when's the last time in the gym, in the office, wherever we are, to tell others of Christ? The disciples asked God, teach them how to pray. Well, we need to know how to pray, and perhaps we need to know a little bit about how to witness. But fundamentally, the bottom line, I can use so many illustrations. For an example, when we were all young and a man, whatever age, sees this lady and boy, he just, now what can I say? What can I say here? Well, it's kind of warm in here, isn't it? You know, just something to get it going, to find out if she's going to communicate with him. And if you have that desire, you'll learn. And a good salesman, and it may be if it's something in like in health or something like that, it's just how am I going to go into this with this person? I don't want to hurt their 300-pound feelings but I want them to know I can help them. And so, but I gotta break through here. I'm not gonna be able to help this person if I don't get a communication going. I'm not gonna get to know this lady here, on the plane or in a store or where. I've only got a few minutes. How can I do this? Well, people, we have the same leading of the Spirit of telling others about Christ. Then I don't think we really need a course on how to witness. We need a course on how to be filled with the Spirit, have that mindset of telling others of Jesus Christ. Finally, point 10. The believer's works are said to be greater in the church. The believer's works are said to be greater. Subpoint 1, not related to law. They're not greater because they're related to law. 2, not related to an earthly nation. Not related to an earthly nation of one race. See, in the Old Testament, they were proselytes. Gentiles were proselyted into the Jewish community. Well, not so in the church. It's not greater because of that. But because it's related to the kingdom of God. But because it is related to the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God on earth makes it greater, bringing Gentiles into this kingdom. Greater because they are dependent on the more difficult work of Christ on the cross. Point 1 of the why they're greater, not related to law. 2, related to the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God on earth. Greater because they are dependent. Excuse me. Excuse me, I don't know where that came from. Not because they are related on the more difficult work of Christ on the cross. Now point 3. Greater because they are under the new covenant, not the old covenant. Under liberty. 4. Greater because they are done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Greater because they are done by the power of the Holy Spirit, the greater works in us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. For you to put in your notes, we're going to read 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 3 through 6. Second Corinthians 3, 3. Being manifested that you, that's each of us, are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. So all of us are just letters. We're like that lamp. We're just a lampstand standing there. A letter. What's the importance of a letter? The importance of a letter is the message, not the letter. We may put it in some nice paper and different colored paper and do all, but that's not what's important. It's the message. Okay? Same thing with a light stand. The lampstand is not what's important. It's the light that comes from it. So being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, pastors, written with ink, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone like the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Christ, through toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, like the greater works. But our adequacy is from God, all who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. It's a new covenant, it's a Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Subpoint 5. Greater, because they are involved with bringing Gentiles into the kingdom of God. I've said it so many times, but here's just the point. Greater because they involve bringing Gentiles into the kingdom. Jesus Christ came to bring the Jews. We bring the Gentiles into the kingdom. They are included in the ministry. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, let's begin our reading, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. That's Christ's love for us controls us. Having first of all concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who lived should no longer live for themselves, self-gratification, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on we recognize no man according to the flesh, racial. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, thus no longer. He's gone. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, any man, any race, Jew or Gentile, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, flesh things of the world. Behold, new things have come, spirit-filled life by faith. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, this verse 18. I in Christ, Christ in me. That's God the Father. Then now we have Christ in me and you and I in Christ. So, Christ in God and God in Christ, that's God reconciling the world to himself through Christ. You and I in Christ and Christ in us, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, now here's the guy. Here is I, the Father, in the Son, and the Son in the Father. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, holding it to the judgment of the cross. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's that righteousness as an issue, which we saw in Romans chapter 1. All the way through, righteousness is this issue from Job, Romans 1, and this is how we get it, through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, five conditions of the greater works. Five conditions of the greater works. And only one of these is our obedience. Only one of these is our obedience. First thing we should say in doing the greater works, first thing we ought to say is, I can't do that. I can't do it. It's like spiritual love. I can't do that. I can't. I cannot love as Christ loved. That's the first thing we ought to be able to do. We ought to be like sitting there watching this movie and the actor just does all these remarkable things. Of course, it's all in the script. But I could never do all that. I can't do that. Well, we could look at this love and look at the way Christ loved and say, I couldn't do that. Now we look at the greater works. I can't do those. I can't do that. That's the first thing we ought to say in ourselves. I can't do that. So here are the five conditions. The first condition, our faith. And this is the only one that we have our part of obedience, is our faith. This is our obedience. This is where it all begins. Total dependency on God, the Holy Spirit, to do these works in and through us. Only those who walk by faith in the Spirit, conscious of His leading, perform these greater works. Okay, let's look at Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. This whole thing of faith, people, is where we really should encourage one another. Now, we encourage one another when things happen, accidents, physical hurt, physical pain, financial divorces, hurtings, and different things. And but what we really want to encourage is others' faith. This is the bottom line, people. I'd like to encourage you in this difficult situation you're in, but the bottom line is, it's spiritual. If I can encourage you in the spiritual realm, the difficult situation that you're in drifts into the shadows. They really do. This is what we have to do, is orient and encourage people in the spiritual realm of faith. Not try to help them work out and get out of this situation or handle this situation. Now, if we're this whole thing spiritually, the difficulty of that circumstance goes into the shadows. Acts 14:22. Strengthening the souls, they returned to Lystra and Iconium. This is where they, at verse 21, after they had preached the gospel to the city and had made many disciples. And now they traveled through where they had already been, strengthening the souls of the disciples, believers, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Okay. I can't change your circumstances. Can't do that. We don't have enough money. If money solved everyone's problems, boy, just everybody give us money, and then we presume we're poor. But we can give them the strength where no matter what that difficult situation is, it goes into the shadows as far as it's a trauma on them. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Now, I just want to make a quick comment about these passages. We can change the whole meaning here if I change faith into that which is believed. Doctrine. I've changed the whole momentum. I've changed the whole momentum of the Christian life. And that's the way a lot do it translate this. I just want you to know that. But boy, how you stay with the real spiritual warfare when you translate it as the way it is. Faith. Walking by faith. That's the battle. Paul says that is the battle. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build up one another. Just as you are doing. And again, encouraging them in regard to faith. And finally, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day. And I like that. Sometimes we just get tired of encouraging, that weak bum, they ought to finally get over. Day after day after day, we encourage our husbands, we encourage our wives, we encourage friends, we encourage our children. Encourage one another day after day, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we'll continue here. I'm not through with these five, obviously, but this is the first one, and it is the essential one as far as we are concerned, because this is where our obedience is involved in doing the greater works. Okay, any questions on the greater works as far? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we covered so much tonight in regard to Jesus Christ not being here, yet being here in us spiritually, things that are just so confusing to a lot of people. I just pray your Spirit will make it so obvious to us what's going on, Heavenly Father, in the spiritual realm, how he is in us and with us for fellowship, for the doing of the greater works. So, Father, we pray that, I just pray that your Spirit will take these things we've seen, let them bed into our hearts and our souls as to the reality and the significance. Not just in regard to the greater works, but in regard to our whole life, every day, every minute, encouraging one another to continue to walk by faith, continue to grow in the Word, and just continue, Heavenly Father, in this spiritual, invisible battle we're in. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.